like watching a fire from across the river. There is a fire burning, someone is suffering, someone is losing everything, and yet we stand at a distance as if it has nothing to do with us, just watching from afar. That is how we often live. But what if that fire is not across the river? What if that fire is already burning towards us? And what if, without even realizing it, we are still standing there as mere spectators? Today, in the passage before us, we are confronted with a scene. Here is a man who is approaching death. At first glance, this may seem like the death of just one man, a tragic but distant event, like a fire from across the river. But why does the scripture tell us about this death? What is the meaning of this death? In verses 37 and 38, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What we must notice here is the connection between these two verses. The verse 37 speaks of the death of this man, Jesus. And then verse 38 suddenly speaks of the curtain of the temple being torn. The passage is not telling about two separate, unrelated events. It is deliberately connecting Jesus' death with the tearing of the curtain. Through this connection, it is revealing the profound meaning of Jesus' death. The curtain of the temple was not just an ordinary piece of fabric. It is symbolized the border, a boundary between God and humanity. On one side was the holy presence of God. On the other side was sinful human beings who could not enter. It stood as a wall no one could cross. But now that curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. This dramatically shows that the barrier between God and us has been removed. The way to God has now been opened. The way to God has now been opened. This is exactly what the death of Jesus Christ means. Through his death, we can now come into the presence of God. But what does it actually mean to be able to come to God? And on the other hand, what does it mean to be unable to come to God? To understand this, let us go back to verses 33 and 34. When Jesus was on the cross, we are told that at noon, darkness came over the whole land. Now, noon is the time when the sun is at its brightness. It is the moment when light is at its strongest. And yet, at that very moment, darkness covered everything. This means a darkness that no light can overcome, a darkness in which every light loses its power. Have you ever experienced such darkness in your life? A darkness where no light remains, where you feel completely trapped, unable to move, unable to escape. A situation where nothing works, where even the strongest hope becomes meaningless, where nothing is left but despair. Perhaps in our own struggles, we have tasted a glimpse of it. But today's passage tells us what that darkness truly is. In that darkness, after suffering on the cross for 3 hours, Jesus cries out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why, God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The reason for that absolute darkness, the reason why every light loses its power, is this: he was forsaken by God. In fact, being forsaken by God is not just the cause of that darkness. It is that darkness itself. Many years ago, I visited a photo exhibition about the Korean War. Among many images, one picture captured my attention, a photo of a small child crying alone, having lost his parents in the war. Is there any picture that captures the tragedy of war more powerful than that? For a child, a parent is like God. The child is completely dependent on the parent for survival. Because to child, a parent is everything. But a parent is not only the one the child depends on for everything, but also the one who loves the child more than anyone else. And the child is the one most deeply loved by their parents. Imagine this: the one you depend on most, the one who loves you most, is suddenly gone. That place, that state of being abandoned, that is absolute darkness. And this is where Jesus is. Like this picture. In that darkness, without the presence of the God who loves him most, he cries out, searching for him. Just like that child in the photograph, crying for his parents, he cries out, searching for him in that deep, deep darkness. Is this not our story? Outwardly, we may be adults. Outwardly, we may be smiling, but inside, is there not a child still crying out for love, looking around, but finding no help, desperately searching for something to hold on to? What does this tell us? The reason we hunger so deeply for love is that there is someone who truly loves us more than anyone else. The reason we live in constant need of help, facing situations that threaten to crush all our hopes, is that there exists an absolute despair, the possibility of living forever without the one who loves us most and who can perfectly help us. Jesus' death shows us that we are trapped in this deep darkness, in the greatest despair imaginable. And he really wants to show this to us. Why? Because he wants us to respond to that. In light of this, the response of the people in verses 35 and 36, those who stood there at the scene of his death have much to say to us today. They watched Jesus as he was dying. They showed a kind of sympathy, saying, "Let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." But in the end, they were simply watching. They looked at his suffering. They acknowledged his pain, but they kept their distance. They were, in a sense, watching it like a fire from across the river, failing to see that his despair was, in effect, their own. Just as we are doing right now as we see this cross of Jesus. Where does this indifference come from? Why do we so easily stand at a distance and watch Jesus suffering as if it has nothing to do with us? Perhaps it's because we have convinced ourselves that we can be happy without true love, because we believe we can live without real help and without God through our own strength and clever substitutes. In other words, it is rooted in pride, the proud illusion that we don't really need God. I can live my life without God. I do not need him. I do not need him. I can live myself. But you know what? That same mindset, the idea that we can manage life without God's love and help, is exactly what nailed Jesus to the cross. When Jesus cried out in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was not only experiencing abandonment. He was revealing the terrible truth. We were the ones who had forsaken God. And because we had forsaken God, Christ was forsaken in our place. Because he would not leave us alone, wandering and despairing in deep darkness without God, he would not come down from the cross. In the cross of Christ, we see the very heart of God. This heart of God, this immense sacrifice, and this boundless love for us were poured out on that cross. My friend, the death of Jesus on the cross is not just the tragic death of one man. It is not merely a historical event that took place 2,000 years ago in a distant land with no connection to us. The reason this event, which took place on the outskirts of the world 2,000 years ago, is recorded in the Bible is so that it might be heard right now, right here, by every one of us in this place. Why? Because this is an event of ultimate importance for every one of us, including you and me. As we listen to this word and look at this scripture today, we are actually standing before this cross. Yeah, cross now? Are you like the people who were there at that time, simply watching his death from a safe distance, like a spectator watching a fire from across the river? Let's pray.